So glad to have you with us, finishing up the week with this News Buzz edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Still to come this half hour, a new marketing study tells companies not to ignore diversity in our families. Also, the growing financial impact of Iowa's wine industry. But first, a new poll shows Governor Terry Branstad beating his Democratic challenger, Jack Hatch, by 10 points, 42% to 32%, another 24% of Iowans undecided as of this point in time. Of course, the election not till November. And I say only because that's down from Branstad's 28-point lead last July. Joining us to talk about the political headwinds the governor is facing, they may explain some of these poll numbers, Chris Larimer, associate professor of political science at the University of Northern Iowa, of course, one of our regular political analysts on River to River. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Ben. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's go through some of the issues that have been dogging the governor we've been reporting on here in Iowa Public Radio and their connection possibly to these poll numbers. What do you put at the start of this list?
Well, I think, you know, the big thing that's been getting all the attention is just the settlements, the confidentiality settlements with a number of state workers, and then related to that, the so-called blacklist of state employees. I think that's what's on most people's radar right now. But, you know, whether or not this actually has an effect, I still think that remains to be seen.
Mm-hmm. So in that process, there were calls for an investigation. Where are we at that? Are we is that still alive and kicking, or is that fading away?
No, it's still alive and kicking, but it's getting more complicated, which politically is probably to the benefit of the Branstad administration. Initially, you know, I think for opponents of the Branstad administration for the Jack Hatch campaign, they were looking at this as something to use potentially for the fall campaign. But as this has sort of become more complex and we're getting more and more details, you know, it's going back even further than just the Branstad administration, and you're talking about other gubernatorial administrations. It's also becoming more bureaucratic. That is, it's hard to know what's going on within some of these agencies. So as it becomes more complex, I think it becomes more difficult for voters to assign blame. The other side of it is that any of this information is always going to be filtered through a partisan lens. So mm-hmm. if you're a strong partisan Democrat, you're going to use this information. If you're a strong partisan Republican, this is something you potentially ignore and say this has nothing to do with the governor.
And for those of us who follow politics and perhaps are not in either of those categories that you just named, we can tend to chalk this up to election year politics, that the challenger has to try to get a foothold.
Yeah, and that exactly, and that I think is in part the explanation for some of the narrowing in the poll numbers that you mentioned, with Jack Hatch going from a 28 percentage point deficit to now just a 10 percentage point deficit in the recent polls. I think that was always going to be expected, that the polls would narrow as we got a little bit closer to the election. But the other side of it is that since Branstad has been in office, I think there have been 21 polls that have come out measuring, you know, approval of the governor since January of 2011, and that includes, you know, Des Moines Register Iowa poll, public mm-hmm. policy polling, and Quinnipiac polling. And in that, if you look at the trend over time, it's been going up. It's been increasing. That is, his approval numbers have been going up. And for a governor going into a reelection time, I mean, that's a pretty good sign.
Other issues dogging the governor, hiring without listing some positions. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, there's potential charges of, I guess some people have talked about it with cronyism, whether or not that's actually the case with the Iowa Public Employment Relations Board. It was something that was reported in the Des Moines Register recently. And again, these are potential issues for a political campaign, but sometimes these issues become more and more complex the further we go on. And for thinking about in terms of politics of a campaign, it becomes more difficult to really assess the impact on a voter, because right now, you know, these are things that are moving attitudes about the governor or attitudes about Jack Hatch, and that's one thing. But when it gets actually down to voting behavior, it's going to have to be something pretty substantial for that to stick and for actually to change someone's mind when they go into the voting booth.
There, on April 8th, the governor signed a proclamation calling for a day of prayer on mm-hmm. July 14th. Yeah. And there was some reaction to that. A letter to the editor in the Des Moines Register, for instance. What is the controversy there?
Well, I think the concern is that the governor, or there was controversy that the governor was talking about a national or a state prayer day in July, and whether or not that was overstepping the bounds on the so-called establishment clause or the separation of church and state. And we have to remember that proclamations are just results of people making requests to the governor, or the governor recognizing Iowans or certain events in the state. And, you know, this is not something that carries the force of law. It's just more of a recognition on the governor. And all governors do this. All governors have a proclamation process where people can write in, request that a proclamation, that some citizen or event be honored. And that's what was going on with the proclamation here. So it did, for some folks, it seems as though it's violating the separation of church and state, but that's not really the case.
We had the governor release his tax information, $235,000 earned last year under the income, approximately paying, $32,000 in federal taxes, $10,000 and a bit of change in state taxes, a 12% effective federal tax right there. That's pretty much what every politician has to do these days, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, there's always concerns that you should always release more and more information, although, you know, I wonder how many voters out there actually go through and read all of these tax returns.
But, right. Going forward, what are we watching in the coming weeks? You've named a number of the issues that are of concern to the Branstad administration. What will you be watching to see whether they flare or fade?
Well, I think all of the things we really mentioned, you know, with some of the allegations about hiring, with the confidentiality statements, and just whether or not these become easy issues to remember, or if these just become more and more complex and it becomes more difficult to assign blame. Like I said, the perception of the governor, the approval of the governor, has been trending upward really since January of 2011. And so for the Hatch campaign, that's difficult to overcome. Generally, the economy's been doing well, although there was, as you mentioned earlier.
Is that what's behind those numbers, those trend upwards in spite of these news stories?
Yeah, I think so. A big part of what predicts the approval of a governor is what's called the relative unemployment rate. That is the difference between the state unemployment and the federal unemployment. And that's been well over 2 percentage points, 2.3 and now down to maybe 2.2 percentage points with these new numbers. And so the state's doing well. And part of it is there was a Gallup poll released last week asking all voters in all states, what they thought about their state government. And 67% of Iowans said they have a great deal or a fair amount of trust in state government in managing state affairs. And that's actually pretty high up on the list. So, you know, these scandals are coming out, but Iowans still see things in the state as moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Quickly, before we have to say goodbye, Chris, the governor's race, of course, has implications for who will be the governor of Iowa, but aren't there wider implications? For instance, the next elected governor will be the one who will preside over the presidential caucuses. Does that matter in a presidential caucus year?
It'll depend a little bit on whether or not how actively the governor wants to get involved. We've had in the past where prominent politicians in the state, such as Chuck Grassley or others, may not want to get involved in that caucus process. So they may not have as big of a role as one might think from the outside.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chris Larimer, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Iowa. Always nice to have a chat with you.
All right. Thanks, Ben.